of sinned. Understand that we are by nature sinners. We were born sinners, and we are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. That is who we are. The words "come short" are in the present tense. That means we were born sinners, and we still continue to come short of God's perfection. We choose sin. We are sinners by nature, sinners by birth, and sinners by choice. That's who mankind is. Now remember, we use other people as a measuring stick. What does God use as a measuring stick? The Ten Commandments. Turn there. Exodus chapter number 20. We go through a couple of them every now and then. Let's go through them all. Number one is found in verse number 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. How many? None. Let me ask you, was there ever a time in your life when you put someone or something above God? Ever? You know what the answer is for every human being on the face of the planet? Yes. Yes. We've broken number one. Second one is found in verse number 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. No idols. Was there ever something that hindered you from loving God or serving Him? Ever, then that thing is what? An idol. And we've broken number what? 2. We're 0 for 2, not doing so well. Third one is found in verse number 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Have you ever used God's name in vain? Ever use God's name in a disrespectful manner, an inappropriate manner. Remember, it's blasphemy to do so. We've all done that. So is everyone else on the planet. We are guilty. 0 for 3. Verse number 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This was an Old Testament day. It is a New Testament principle. It is all about spiritual nourishment and setting aside a day to nourish yourself on God. Have you ever been spiritually running on empty? Do not set aside the time to make sure you have met with God. And the answer is yes. We're guilty. 0 for 4. Number 5, verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother. Were you ever mad at your parents? Did you ever argue with your parents? Did you ever disobey your parents? You guys aren't shaking your heads. We're all guilty. It's not looking so good for the human race. 0 for 5. Verse number 13. Thou shalt not kill. And the word there is murder. Do no murder. Jesus' words in the New Testament were, whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. Have you ever hated verbally, mentally, in your heart? If so, you're a murderer. a murderer. That includes all of us. Over 6. Verse number 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. But again, Jesus said in the New Testament, whoso looketh to lust is guilty of adultery. Again, have you ever lusted, wondered, fantasized? 0 for 7. Verse number 15, thou shalt not steal. Does that mean $100,000, $1 million, $10 million? Does that mean anything? Anything. If you've taken something that does not belong to you, you have stolen. If you ever goofed off at work when you weren't supposed to, you've stolen time. We're guilty. 0 for 8. Verse number 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Have you ever lied, misled, stretched? Lying is a funny thing because liars know how to lie. And it's amazing that there's people who know how to give you just enough information so that you will jump to that conclusion and they can say, I never told you that. But they gave you the information to lead you to that jump. Guess what they just did? They lied. Now, they think in their mind they've got full deniability. Oh, I never told them that. Oh, yeah, you did. And you knew full well you did it. There are people who withhold some truth or they stretch the truth and they lie. It's amazing. That's why when we swear to tell the truth, we swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You ever lied? Yeah. We're 0 for 9. Verse number 17, thou shalt not covet. You ever been envious, lustful of what someone else has? And the answer is yes. 0 for 10. Now, here's the funny part. James chapter 2, verse number 10 says, if you've kept the whole law and yet you're guilty of breaking one, you've broken them all. That was for those self-righteous people who said, I didn't break all of them. Oh, yeah, guess what? We have. We've all broken how many? All of them. Feel guilty? You are. Own it. Mankind is guilty. See your need. Own your need. Number 3, let Christ meet your need. Please understand right here, this is where the evangelical methods of witnessing are way off. This is where the live your best life now and God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life messes everything up. If people don't see their need, then Christ doesn't make sense. Because He did not come so that you could live your best life now. He did not come so that you could have everything you desired and all of your wishes and dreams come through. He is not Walt Disney. He is not Santa Claus. And He's not President Obama. He came not to give you everything. He came to show you you've got nothing. You see, people who get saved, thinking that Christianity will make their life better, as soon as the first problem comes, they run. Because their life's not better. But when you get saved because you realize without Christ, you're going to hell, then you don't run. Then you trust Christ as your personal Savior. You see, God's standard is beyond your ability. The Ten Commandments show you are a sinner. By the law is the knowledge of sin. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. That is why the law was given. It was not given so that we could say, yep, ace that one, I get to go to heaven. Or if I work harder on that one and get to that point, I'll get there. No. The law was given so you could see and own your need. One day, someone walked into W.C. Fields' dressing room, and many of you have got no idea who I'm talking about. W.C. Fields, an early movie actor and reprobate at that. Okay? They caught him reading the Bible. And they asked him, what are you doing? Reading the Bible? His answer was, no, I'm looking for loopholes. You know, that's what people do. They look for loopholes. How can I get into heaven my way? It's not in this book. Religion provides many loopholes. Do you know how many of them are found in the Bible? None. The whole idea of relative righteousness is ridiculous. That I can be good enough. And if I am just moral enough, and if my good outweighs my bad, I will get in now. Mike Powell held the world long jump record for a long time. I don't know if it was broken. I think it was. But back when Mike Powell broke it, it was 29 feet, 4 inches. That's jumping a long way, right? That's jumping a long way. No one could break that for a long time. He said it in Mexico City where the air was thinner. Did that help him? I got no idea. That's just what I always heard. So I challenged Mike Powell to a jumping contest. We were each going to jump over the Grand Canyon. He, the world record holder at 29 feet, 4 inches, and me, I could probably cover the 4 inches. We're to jump over the Grand Canyon. Let me ask you a question. Do you think he can outjump me? Come on. Yeah. Do you think it'll matter? No, because we're both going to travel the same distance. Okay? Out and then down. That's relative righteousness. We think that because I am better than Charles Manson, I am better than Adolf Hitler, I am better than those creeps, I'm getting in. And the answer is no. You might jump farther, but you're going to end up in the same place. Hell. You see, there is only one way. And that's Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse number 23, for the wages of sin is what? Death. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 6, For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man would some even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were what? Sinners. Christ died for us. He's not saying we are semi-good or mostly good or partly good or some good. We are what? Sinners. And God loved us when we were sinners. The word without strength in verse 6 means that we were without any righteousness, any hope of helping ourselves, any ability to do what we need to do to get to God. How much did we have? None. For when we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. That's the gospel message. We cannot do it. We cannot do a part of it. We cannot do any of it. It is all of God, all of Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Verse number 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Bible says here that God made Christ, who knew no sin, sin for us. Does that mean that God took our sin and made it a part of the character of Jesus Christ? He turned him into sin? No. He's God. He treated him as the guilty sinner. On the cross, God treated Christ as if he broke every one of the Ten Commandments over and over and over again. As if he were without strength. As if he was ungodly. As if he was an enemy of God. God treated Christ as a sinner. And God judged sin on Christ. He poured out the full fury of his wrath against sin on Christ. Wow. Now it makes sense. That's why Christ died. So God could judge him. What does he do to those who repent and by faith accept Christ as Savior? He treats us as a righteous son. Are we? No. But now he treats us that way for Christ's sin. Can living a good moral life get you to heaven? Not a chance. Revelation chapter number 20. Verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We call this the great white throne judgment of God. The only people who will be in judgment are those who have rejected Christ. Are those who have said no to God their entire life and decided that they, by their own works, would try to earn their way to heaven. They get there. And the books are opened. And because every religion has taught them that their good works, if they are good enough, will get them in, God will allow them to call that as their witness. God will allow them to show Him the evidence of their good moral life. Do you know what they will see? They're guilty of breaking all the commandments. And they are guilty before God. At that point, some of them will call out, "But Lord, didn't we do many wonderful works in your name? But Lord, didn't we cast out devils in your name? But Lord, but Lord." And He's going to say unto them, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you." You see, God doesn't accept excuses. He forgives sin. Period. And when you come acknowledging you are a sinner, He will forgive you. You come repentant, and He will save. You come with a handful of excuses, and He'll turn you away. It's our choice. Will living a good moral life get anyone to heaven? No. Never has. Never will. God never intended it to do so. There's one way to heaven, and that's through Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for all that You've done, and thank You so much for the opportunity to look into Your Word again this evening. Lord, we know these things to be true. But I pray that You would impress it upon our hearts so much that we will understand how grateful we need to be. We don't deserve Your grace. We don't deserve Your mercy. We do not deserve Your love. Yet Christ paid our sin penalty in full. I pray that our lives would be lived in such a way that we thank You, we please You, and we point others to You. Bless now in every decision that is made. We'll thank You for it in Christ's name. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. You're with us tonight and you say, "Pastor, I'm saved. I want to make sure that I'm grateful for what God has done for me. Thankful for the gift of His mercy, of His grace, for the salvation that I have. Pastor, pray for me. I want to live a thankful life." Anyone like that? Put your hand up, put it back down. Amen. 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 Anyone else? Just slip your hand up, put it back down. Pastor, pray for me. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, "Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." Pastor, would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Put your hand up, put it back down. Our Father, bless now in this invitation. Bless as we make these decisions. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Let's all stand. Grab a hymn book right in front of you. Turn to page 366. 366. If God has spoken to your heart, if there's a decision that He wants you to make, right now, do it. Verse number one, make that decision. Talk to God. If you need to be saved, come. We'll have someone show you how you can know that you are. Right now, as we sing, you come.